Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, everybody
jump, jump. Rodgers in the shotgun formation. He gets the snap and he backpedals three. He cocks his arm. He throws a pass in the back of the end zone. Backpedaling catch. Touchdown! A backpedaling two-handed catch in the corner. Devontae Adams. A strike of 16 yards. And Green Bay is an extra point away from tying this game. A 27-yard field goal try. Ball put down. Right-footed kick to our right is up, and it is good. Zeros on the clock. Green Bay has won. The Packers have come from behind to win it. Pandemonium at Lambeau Field in Green Bay.
Yes, it was a good night to be a Packer fan.
Talk about a good moment.
Oh, that is. No question about it, Taz. You're right about that. In Lambeau, as another Rodgers comeback for the Green Bay Packers, as they knock off the 49ers 33-30, the final. It is a Taz of the Moose. A good Tuesday morning to one and all. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way, AB, Andrew Bogish with your updates. 6 to 9 we go, 3 to 6 Pacific. Taz, good night. I mean, it is. Yeah. This is why you watch NFL football. Last night, if you stayed up late, you were treated to what was a pretty special comeback by arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League.
And Rodgers proved that, and he sure did, Moose, and it was amazing. And even at when the game was tied up, that's the part. I don't think we heard that sound. It was tied up 30-30 with 15 seconds left. St. Brown makes a huge back shoulder. It was a back shoulder pass by Rodgers, and that was a huge catch for them to move on. But it really was just Rodgers. He's just something else. And well, he's really cool as a cat, man.
Yeah, I mean,
it's amazing.
There's a number of things. And you're going to start with the positives, then you get to the negatives in terms of that Packer defense. And the 49ers are they had a long flight back to the Bay Area because that game was very, very winnable from their perspective. Beathard played well, had a bad interception late going deep to Marquise Goodwin, picked off by King, which gave the Packers the football back with about 1:08 left in regulation, which allowed Rodgers to work his comeback magic. Game tied up at 30 at that point in time, which led to the game-winning field goal, as you heard from Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1, 27 yards out by Mason Crosby to win it as the clock hit triple zeros, Taz. But, I mean, from a Green Bay perspective and from a Packers perspective, you know, no Randall Cobb, no Geronimo Allison. You got Devontae Adams and Jimmy Graham. You got two rookie wide receivers, one from Notre Dame, as you mentioned, one from, I believe it was Central Florida, making plays for Rodgers. And you saw some miscommunication over the course of the game. The 49er defense came to play last night, even though they gave up 33 points. They led the game at the halftime, did San Francisco. They found themselves down 17-7. And then Beathard hits Goodwin for that 67-yard bomb, which made it 17-14. I mean, and Taz, anyway you cut it, from a Packer perspective, though, I mean, it's a hell of a win. And all you could do is take one game at a time and continue to improve and get better on it. Rodgers has been critical of this offense, critical of the play calling at times, not getting the playmakers the football. And last night when he needed a big touchdown, there was Devontae Adams and making plays down the stretch. You saw Adams, you saw St. Brown, the rookie out of Notre Dame, making plays for him. It was a hell of a night and a great football game.
Absolutely, and well said. I mean, Rodgers and the Pack, they showed, that offense showed clutch, complete clutch, and the home crowd was going nuts in Lambeau, man. We heard that audio there. But I got to say, I mean, I think it was yesterday or maybe it was Friday, whenever we were talking going into the NFL weekend, I was kind of saying, 49ers, forget it. They don't have a shot. No one gave them a shot against the Pack, you know, in Green Bay. And I got to tell you, I was flipping back and forth like a lot of people. I'm sure you too, from the baseball game, you know, from the Brewers and the Dodgers to the Packers and the Niners. And I'm like, man, look at these 49ers. And then like in the second, I think it was the second quarter, they outscored the Packers. I mean, and it's like, wow, this is like they're in this game. They are in this game, and they sure were. So I think we got to tip our cap to the Niners, because a lot of us, me, have been ripping them, especially since Garoppolo got hurt.
Well, yeah, and Beathard could play.
He proved it. Yeah.
And he showed last night that he can.
Iowa guy, right? I think.
Yes. And he could. He's not Garoppolo, certainly, but in terms of a backup quarterback, and maybe he gets an opportunity to be a starter with some other organization down the line here, Taz. But Beathard came to play, and I thought Shanahan, for the most part, last night called a really, really good game. And you give King credit for turning around and finding the football in the final interception. Beathard gave Marquise Goodwin an opportunity to make a play on the football. Unfortunately for him, he threw it to the inside. If he throws it to the back shoulder or outside, you know, using Marquise Goodwin's speed, I think he would have had an opportunity maybe to run underneath it. He didn't. Threw it to the inside. King located the football in the air, and it hit him right in the belly and for the interception, which led to the game-winning field goal by Mason Crosby. But, you know, for Rodgers, 19th career game-winning drive for him, clearly not 100% healthy. You saw him with that big knee brace, limping all over the place at times, Taz, and taking some hits, and he looked like he was in pain at times as well. So for Rodgers and then for Crosby, coming off a game the week previous against the Detroit Lions where he misses four field goals and an extra point. In an eight-point loss on the road in Detroit.
Yeah.
And last night he was perfect on the field at Lambeau Field. A guy that's had an unbelievable career.
Sure has.
I mean, Mason Crosby's been in the league, what, 16 years?
Yeah,
that feels like he's been in the league for like
forever, 25 years. Yeah.
He's always donned that Packer uniform. But last night, a little bit of redemption for Mason Crosby as well.
Yeah, it was a huge redemption for him, you know, because, yeah, and that you got to figure, you missed four field goals the previous week and how bad you played as a kicker. And who would, you know, look, we've seen kickers become, you know, heroes all the time in the NFL, in college games, you know, winning that last second, you know, with a second left, a field goal and all that stuff. But in this situation, to redeem himself from missing four, from Crosby missing four last week, to get the game winner here at home, huge, huge clutch kick for Crosby for sure.
Yeah, it was. And now for the Packers, Taz, defense isn't particularly good. I mean, they got shredded last night.
They did, yeah.
When they were leading that game 17-7 late first quarter, I thought to myself watching the game at home, I was like, that was it. I mean, you saw the initial shot from San Francisco jump out to the 7-0 lead. Packers roll off 17 unanswered points. Said, all right, this is it. And then on the big touchdown pass to Goodwin, that Packer defense leaves a lot to be desired. Under new defensive coordinator Mike Pettine, Dom Capers was there for a long time as their DC. They made a change in the offseason. They're having a hard time finding their way defensively. They are right now. So I don't know if I necessarily look at the Green Bay Packers as being a championship caliber team at this stage, but anytime you have number 12 on the field for them, they've got an opportunity to win each and every football game.
But you're right, though. I agree about Aaron Rodgers, but defensively, yeah.
They're bad.
They are.
Defensive team.
They're not Kansas City Chiefs bad defense.
No, they're not that bad, but they're also not Kansas City explosive offensively either.
Offensively, right. They're really not. Right.
I mean, especially with Rodgers not being 100% healthy.
Correct. And obviously, Rodgers and Mahomes, we're not comparing them. They are completely different quarterbacks, styles and everything. But they both are excellent, awesome quarterbacks. Now, Mahomes has got a lot to do to catch up to anything that Rodgers is doing. But defensively, they both share something in common with it. They got kind of stinky defenses. But, yeah, that Pack defense, the Packer defense, yeah, they got to pick it up. They got to figure something out there. And I don't know if that's going to happen this season. But you make a great point, because to go on and try to battle on the NFC and be a championship quality team, you're not going to do it without legitimate, powerful defense and legitimate, strong defense. Look, the Lions, was it last week they played the Packers? They beat them. I think they scored 31 points on. What was that score?
Yeah, 31-23.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, the Lions is not exactly, Stafford, good quarterback, but it's not exactly like they're the Patriots offensively, and they put up 31 on them. So, you know, it's a pattern there, and that defense is not that good.
Here is the Packers head coach, Mike McCarthy, after the victory, saying a nice way to head into an off week.
You obviously want to go into the bye week clean and and I think we're gonna be in pretty good shape medically, so our guys have a chance to rest up and get back at it, because we know the stretch run we have there. So a lot of good things tonight. Obviously, some things we like to do better.
Defensively.
That's what the bye week's for.
Yeah, it certainly is. How about the quarterback? Here's Aaron Rodgers, Taz, saying last night felt pretty good.
It definitely was an important one, especially with the prognosticating that'll go on about the type of opponent we have coming up the next few weeks, and obviously them being road games. This was an important game for us. I'd never like to use the term must win, but it was an important one.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, the road's going to get a little bit more difficult, and that would have been a, you know, from a Packer perspective, Taz, that would have been a crushing loss. Oh. I mean, you're a nearly a double-digit favorite at home.
At home, right.
I think the closing number was 9, so you're a 9-point favorite at home. The 49ers coming to town. It's Lambeau Field. It's Monday Night Football, and they've got their backup quarterback in. By hook or by crook, you got to win the game.
And look it, they got, and that's the kind of the narrative you heard there. You got a bye week, which is great, and because they can regroup and get guys healthy. Because then what they got, dude, back to back road games, L.A. Rams, New England Patriots. I mean, week 8 they're playing the Rams, week 9 they're playing the Pats, both away.
Yes,
I mean that's like, whew, that's rough.
And those are going to be fun games to watch and take in. You know, Rams, obviously, pound for pound right now, probably the best team in the National Football League. And we all know how New England's starting to find their rhythm. As one point in time, they were a 1-2 team, and now they've ripped off 3 consecutive wins. All right, let's hear about the 49er perspective. Here's their head coach, Kyle Shanahan. I thought, you know, their offense and their team was prepared for Lambeau last night, just could not close the deal.
We didn't get anything with the runs, and then when we had the passes, we didn't move the chains. So we had a chance there at the end, especially when they tied it up, and we had that kick return with the penalty. We had every opportunity to finish it and win that game, and we didn't get it done.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, and what he's referencing is after the game-tying touchdown by Rodgers to Davante Adams, kick return out to the 32-yard line, I think an unnecessary roughness penalty, 15 yards. The 49ers started basically at midfield. And that 3 plays later, Beathard throws the interception, picked off by King at the Packer 10-yard line as he was trying to find Marquise Goodwin deep there. And then the Packers take over, and we know the magic of Aaron Rodgers gets them in the field goal range and Crosby with the game winner. Overall, though, I mean, we know the 49ers aren't, you know, going anywhere this season.
Right.
But what you do like, from a San Francisco perspective, you mentioned give them credit. I agree with you there. And I also think it says a lot about a staff after you lose your franchise quarterback to a torn ACL, which they did with Garoppolo, that this team continues to bust it each and every week. That they continue to lay it down each and every week. That says a lot about the motivation of the team. That says a lot about the staff and having the ear of this team that they are responding to this coaching staff.
And look, right, and I agree. Like the quarterback, right? A quarterback, he's a manager. He's a time manager on the field. He's a general of the offense. So if you can go toe to toe with time of possession with Aaron Rodgers, and that's what C.J. Beathard did. I mean, that the time of possession in the game was very similar. 28, almost 29 minutes, 28.52. For the Niners and 31 minutes for the Green Bay Packers. So to be able to, Moose, you know that, man, with time management and to manage that offense for the whole game and to keep that time possession and have playmakers to make things happen, you know, I think you really got to tip that proverbial cap to C.J. Beathard, the 49ers, and how good of a job they did, for sure.
Now, let me ask you this, Taz. Do you think, and you probably, I mean, I'm guesstimating here. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to be one. I'm not part of that medical staff of the Packers or that training staff of the Green Bay Packers. You think Rodgers is at 70%, 75%?
I think he's about 75, 80.
Okay, 75.
Yeah, he's definitely not 100.
So you think a 75 or 80% Rodgers, do you think he's – how? What percentage of quarterbacks would you put ahead of a 75 or 80% Aaron Rodgers?
Not many. I mean, like he's like, –
I mean, would you put – oh, you put Brady ahead of him?
I definitely put Brady ahead of him.
Would you put Roethlisberger ahead of him?
Yeah, I would. I think especially in clutch time management like we were talking about.
Would you put Breeze ahead of him?
Yeah. Well, you're naming some of the greats,
the modern day.
Would I put Mahomes, though?
I wouldn't. Right, and we're talking about a 75 or 80% Aaron Rodgers. 100% Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. But
it's a good question, though.
But think about this. Think about the fact of you have a guy that's clearly 80, maybe as high as 80% of where he is physically. And the ability to play the position as well as he's able to play it, it's really remarkable. Because, Taz, listen, I've never been I was never a Division I athlete. I certainly wasn't an NFL player. You were a D2 player. You wrestled certainly in the ring a number of different circuits, ECW, WWF, WWE, and everything and the like. To be in pain and pain management threshold and be able to perform.
Yeah, it's...
And lay it on and understand what you need to do in order to be successful. It's really a testament to Rodgers because we kind of poo-poo it and you forget about it until you see him limping during the course of the game. It really is remarkable what he's able to accomplish on the football field.
It is. And you know, the weird thing, because I've played hurt and I've wrestled hurt a zillion times. Maybe not a zillion, maybe a million, but you get my point. And I've seen guys do it. And it's something weird happens. Like you pull this thing from inside where you perform sometimes better than you normally would if you were 100%. Because you know there's a kink or chink in the armor. You know. So now you got to really knuckle up and you got to really stay laser focused and you got to really, you know, everything's got to be perfect and you got to pull that intestinal fortitude, that thing we hear a lot, intestinal fortitude. Well, it's true. It might sound cliche. It's like a cliche thing, but it's the truth. You got to pull that out of you. And I think that's what the greats do. And I think we're seeing that in Aaron Rodgers for sure. I mean, because he's not 100% to your point. But you raise a good question. You know, which quarterback's at going against Rodgers? Not at 100. I wouldn't say Goff.
I probably would not. He's Cam, played really
Cam?
Well.
Cam?
No, I would not.
You wouldn't say, see, I'm on the fence maybe with Cam.
I would not put Cam at 80%. I'd rather take an 80% Aaron Rodgers than a 100% Cam Newton.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Now,
I don't know. That's the one I'm a little stuck on.
Now,
Cam,
that offense, people will say, well, how do you not put Goff and how do you not put Mahomes? Look at what their offenses are doing. But individually, I just would rather roll the dice. I'd take a 80% Aaron Rodgers. But let's ask you, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. What quarterbacks would you put ahead of an 80% Aaron Rodgers as he continues to work his miracles out in Lambeau Field?
Nate Peterman?
Dude, how does he have a job, bro?
You know, he still might keep playing. You
know, I know. Well,
because
Allen's hurt.
I know. And just bring the old guy in. Oh,
dude, he's terrible.
I don't know.
I honestly feel bad for him.
Feel bad for me. I'm a Bills fan.
I understand you feel bad for you. Or you're a Bills fan and all Bills fans out there. But I do feel bad. He's a young kid.
No, I know. I do feel
bad.
And
he hops on social media. And he was just getting destroyed.
Just
lit up on Sunday.
Josh, leave it alone.
Those that had the Bills money line, what is he doing
Peterman, leave it alone. All these guys, just stay off social media. No, but Peterman just, oh, God.
And once he entered the game, if you had the Texans in your knockout pool, sorry, Taz.
Oh, there it is.
You've honestly felt a lot better about your chances of winning the game.
Unbelievable. Like, I would take 7% Aaron Rodgers over Nate Peterman. How's that? Is that?
Right. I'd take Rodgers with two broken legs over Nate Peterman.
Take Rodgers with his ankles taped together with his arm chicken wing with a chain.
Well, if you're a resident of the great state of Wisconsin, last night was a good night because the Packers won. And also another team won out west as well. We'll get into that next as the Brew Crew doing their thing in Los Angeles. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with a triple header. First, live from London, the Tennessee Titans take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Then Tom Brady and the Patriots, coming off a thrilling win over the Chiefs, collide with Khalil Mack and the Bears, followed by a big NFC East showdown between the Cowboys and the Skins. Wake up with the NFL today at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and start your full day off with football only on CBS.
So we're going across the pond again.
We are. Yes.
Not we, but them. The NFL.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah,
another one.
Next two weekends.
Oh, next two weekends?
Yes. You had three straight weeks. Night game at Wembley, and then you have two games that are morning affairs on the East Coast, early morning affairs out West with 9:30 kickoffs.
Could not help your coffee cup, the Moose. That is your cup, I believe.
Correct.
It's a Walt Disney World Cup.
It is.
Donald Duck on it.
It is.
This needs to be an IG photo. This is tremendous. Yeah. This is called Mickey, I'm running out of the house. I need a coffee cup.
This is bringing Disney with you.
Wow. Look at you. Happy Jack.
All right. Why not? This is the mug they give you at Disney World.
How nice and friendly mine is. A matte black Under Armour meme bottle.
There you go. Bilotti gets it, right? You know this, right?
Oh, yeah. Port Orleans.
Oh, wow. Port Orleans. Look at them. All right. Maybe you two guys should go to Walt Disney World together. Walk down Main Street. Skip a little bit.
That's fine.
Main Street's great.
Yeah, I love Main Street.
They have the popcorn smell. Cotton candy. Oh, it's fantastic.
Good spot to pick fights because no one expects that. You don't get people's faces. At night, pound some beers, walk down Main Street.
I would probably notify security and usher you out.
Security guards, they're all 90-year-old retired guys from New York.
Not anymore.
Oh, they got jacked up guys running around?
Yeah, right.
Like bodybuilders walking around Disney. What's your problem, boss? Like bouncers on Main Street.
Got to protect Goofy.
That's true. Got to protect the castle.
That's exactly right.
Big gassed up Haas.
No, Disney's wonderful. Disney's great. It's a good time. It's fun. It's pricey, but it's a fun time.
Yeah.
My son asks like every single day, when are we going back to Disney? I go, Jackson, easy.
They want to go all the time.
All the time. Yeah, they love it.
Daddy's got to do 20 more shows.
We got to
save the money.
Another few years.
That's it. Going to go every couple years, I think.
More shows to do, and then we'll go.
Yeah, that's it. But the best part is when the kids, their faces light up when you walk in.
It is.
And they see Mickey and Minnie. That's the best part.
Yeah.
It really is.
Enjoy it now.
That's it. That's the point. My wife's like, now. If you don't do it now, when they're like 13, 14, they're going to care less. All they want to be is on their phone.
They're not going to give a S about anything.
Yes.
Okay? There you go.
Yes.
So enjoy it now, the Moose.
Good morning, Andrew.
Oh, guys, good morning. How are you? Good
morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. So, good Orlando, morning. A good moment, it's actually, Taz.
Good moment.
But
good
thank
moment,
you anyway. Yeah. Orlando Arcia is the new Christian Yelich.
0-1 pitch. Fly ball down the right field line. Going back is Puig on the warning track at the wall. It's gone. Orlando Arcia goes the other way. It's 4-0 Brewers.
Jeff Levering on Brewers Radio. Arcia's 2-run homer in the 7th capped Milwaukee's scoring in game 3 of the NLCS at Dodgers Stadium. The Milwaukee shortstop has gone deep now in back-to-back games and 3 times in 4. Yolis Chacin and 4 relievers combined for a 5-hitter. The 4-0 final gives the Brewers a 2-1 lead in this series. Another disaster last night for Dodger catcher Yasmani Grandal. 1-for-4, 3 Ks, another passed ball. Austin Barnes will catch today's game 4. First pitch at Dodger Stadium, 6:09 Pacific. The ALCS resumes at 5:09 Eastern in Houston. Dallas Keuchel starts for the Astros. Nathan Eovaldi for the Red Sox. Chris Sale will rejoin Boston later today after spending Sunday night in the hospital with a stomach ailment. 4 missed field goals last week for Mason Crosby. 4 made field goals last night.
Hunter Bradley the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee. Arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good.
Mason Crosby
delivers the dagger. 1 week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight.
Who was that who said, yes, Mason Crosby? Who was that? Do we know who that was?
Yeah, I'm going to get there. Wayne Larrivee, Larry McCarron
on
Packers Radio. Mason Crosby, good from 27. His time expired.
Homer Jones.
Green Bay surviving San Francisco 33-30. They tied the game with 1:55 left on a 15-yard pass to Davante Adams. Then Kevin King picked off C.J. Beathard with 67 seconds left. So Green Bay gets to 3-2-1. The Niners drop to 1-5. Rams head coach Sean McVay doesn't expect Cooper Kupp to play this weekend against San Francisco because of Sunday's left knee injury. And everybody's favorite QB, Bills rookie Josh Allen, reportedly headed for an MRI in his right elbow. Allen might have damaged his UCL, but it's not necessarily a long-term injury. Your favorite head coach, Sean McDermott, called Allen week to week yesterday. The NBA season begins tonight. Philly's in Boston, then the Warriors host the Thunder. The Pacers...
Well, can I ask you a question? I mean, if he, say he tore his UCL, that would not be the same issue as if you were a pitcher in Major League Baseball?
Apparently Marcus Mariota has sprained his UCL and missed 2 games at the beginning of the year.
What about if you tore it?
Yeah, I mean, if you tore it, that's a big thing. So that's why
it's a partial tear, no?
Again, not a doctor.
I play one on the radio. I can handle
this. Please, well,
okay. But a sprain is different than a tear.
Absolutely.
Well, there could be micro tears.
Yeah.
Well, there could be micro tears.
But a sprain is a tear with a ligament. It's a bad. It's bad wording by the medical profession. But a sprain.
Well, it depends on the percentage of the tears.
Hold on. Wait, let's back up a teeny bit.
Yeah.
AB, what did you just say?
What did I say?
A sprain is a tear. That's not true.
It is with a ligament.
This has happened to me.
I know.
A sprain is not a tear in a ligament. That's not true.
Okay, we can agree to disagree.
Well, you said you're not a doctor, and I said I play one on the radio.
Right.
Okay. And I'm telling you from experience, a sprain is not a tear in a ligament.
Okay.
I've never heard that in my life.
Okay.
Well, you're saying it condescendingly.
I can't win this argument with you. Moose is going to Google it for me.
I'll Google it.
But many medical doctor interviews about football injuries, a sprained ligament means a tear, just not torn the point.
I never heard that.
Where you
I mean, I inflamed to it. I mean, I understand that. The sprain is usually inflamed when they either ice it or ultrasound. You know, I mean, I never heard it being a tear, but Moose is going to lay it on us from Google right now. Dr. Google.
A sprain is a stretch or tear in a ligament.
Still don't believe it.
A strain is also a stretch or tear, but it happens in a muscle or a tendon. So, yeah.
Well, no. So, throw the football, throw the baseball, as you know, it's a totally different motion.
But it does not necessarily mean that it is. I mean, there's the idea that a sprain could also be the stretch of a ligament. A tear could be involved,
right?
But it does not necessarily mean that there is a tear.
Right, but that's why there's grades of sprains to a ligament.
No, I get it, but it does not, if you just say he sprained his ligament, it does not necessarily mean that it is that there is any sort of a tear. Micro tear, partial tear, percentage of tear. It could just be a sprain.
Yes.
Or stretching of the ligament.
I had a partial tear
now that we're all clear.
In my knee, okay? And I wrestled on it for about a year and a half. Then I finally needed to get it scoped. And then I had like four scopes after it. And you could have, partial tears for sure, but I'd never heard it called sprain. Any orthopedic surgeon I've went to, and I've been to enough of them, I never heard that.
Well, I guess my point being is that, you know, you could have, I get the Mariota example, and I know it depends on it. You know, you look at Masahiro Tanaka with the Yankees. He had micro tears in his UCL, his initial first year with the Yankees. I think they said it was probably about 4 or 5% of his UCL at that stage. He decided not to have surgery. He's been pitching through, and other guys in Major League Baseball have done that. If you're Josh Allen, and if there's any kind of a tear in the UCL, if there is, I don't know if there is.
Right,
maybe it's just a stretching of the UCL ligament. Who knows? But if there's any sort of a tear, is that something that you can consistently play through and be able to throw the
football? Ask Taz.
Well, don't be like that. Don't be.
I'm not
being
like anything.
Don't be crank-a-lank.
Don't be cranky. Moose is right. I don't know, man. I don't think... I think it depends on the level. That's why it's kind of like a lot of gray area with it.
Yeah,
you know? And it really is. I mean,
well, I would imagine Taz that if he's got a little, they fear of damage to the UCL ligament. I would imagine Josh Allen's not playing this weekend.
I don't think
he's
going
to play. I would
have
a hard time envisioning. That would be stupid.
The guy that's your future of your franchise.
That would be moronic.
That'd be dumb.
That'd be dumb.
Because
you're not going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere. Right. You're not going anywhere. So no matter what AB and his doctor medical degree says, you're not going anywhere, Buffalo. And I love you. You're my team, along with the Rams. But you know,
the Chiefs.
You notice the segue.
Yeah, no Cooper Kupp as Bogus just went through.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I should back off of that.
What else? I guess. Oh, the Pacers signing 22-year-old center Miles Turner to an extension.
I got this pain in my shoulder. Can you examine it during
a
break?
Can't. No. Nope. Reportedly 4 years.
Bellotti will massage it down for you.
How about Reeves?
What is what's Pete's name when he's your doctor?
When he's my doctor.
When he's your physio.
Dr. Feel Good too.
Whoa.
Watch.
Hey now.
That should have been a moose blow. Whoa.
It's too early for that.
Dr. Feel Good. Yeah, no, because he makes everybody feel better. That's all.
We understand.
Come on out of the gutter.
I gotcha.
Freak!
Hockey last night, the Maple Leafs won their fifth straight 4-1 over the LA Kings. See you in an hour.
All right.
Can't wait, buddy.
Yes. Can't wait at all. How about the National League Championship Series game 3 last night in Los Angeles that went the Brewers' way? As you just heard Bogus mention and go through all the details about how that game did play out. As the Milwaukee Brewers now lead that series 2-1, Taz, and take home field advantage back from a Dodger team. And we could get into the struggles of Yasmani Grandal once again as he, struck out with the bases loaded and had yet another pass ball, which allowed a run to score for Milwaukee. They jumped out early in this one. It wasn't a case that their starter, Buehler, didn't pitch. He pitched okay. I mean, right. 7 innings of work, 5 hits, 4 runs allowed. Chacin was very good. They get into that bullpen, which was rested and healthy. They did their job as well. Jeffries responded in kind after giving up the big 2-run home run to Justin Turner the game before in Milwaukee a couple nights ago. And the Brewers, I like the Brewers going into this series, Taz. I think there's just something a little magical about them this year. I know the Dodgers can't hit their way out of a paper bag right now. They were 0-for-10 as a team with runners in scoring position. They left 6 men on base. Here's Dave Roberts after last night's Dodgers loss.
I thought we had the right guys in those moments, and we just didn't execute. So I think we were 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position. And, you know, one part of it is creating scoring opportunities. We had a second and third, one out. We had a leadoff double, and we couldn't push them across.
And you know what? I do think, Taz, that is contagious. Yeah. I do think when guys, all of a sudden, you're not hitting with runners in scoring position, I think guys start to put a little bit more pressure on themselves when they step
in the
press.
Box. They start the press. Yep. And you're right. And I mean, the only one right now who's hitting the ball, from what I could see, it seems like Machado. It's like when he gets up, he's pretty consistent lately. I think he had a couple of knocks yesterday. And Bellinger's not doing nothing. It was an opportunity for him to be clutch there. I mean, Pugh got a clutch hit. He did. But otherwise, yeah, no, they're not. They're not hitting the ball. And you heard Roberts kind of lay that down right there. And yeah, I mean, I was surprised. I got to be honest. As a team, as far as talking team here, I did not think the Dodgers would lose that game last night at home. With that lineup, with the players they have, I just didn't think it would happen. But the Brewers, man, that was a huge victory for them at Dodger Stadium. And I got to tell you,
great win.
Another thing, dude, I felt like there was like zero. Like the audience, like zero.
There was no energy.
Man. No energy.
And Kiki Hernandez for the Dodgers mentioned that he thought his team was lifeless. He thought the crowd was lifeless as well. There was not. You felt like it was a regular season game in June or July. You had no idea that it was game three of the National League Championship Series in October in Los Angeles. There was no juice at the stadium whatsoever. The scene was beautiful.
Yeah.
And Fox, they did a great job on Fox with the sunset and the mountains in the background. I mean, it's a beautiful. We talked about that yesterday. But the crowd was dead as a doornail.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's the thing. When you go, you look at these two clubs. Look at a club like Milwaukee. You know, they have that true home. When they're home, people are there, and this is the end all be all for them, for their Brew Crew to win.
That's okay? Not L.A.
No, it's not. L.A.'s transplants.
Maybe
LA's,
LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, it's like people just like you know, they it's known for sports events. They show up late. It's different. It's a laid-back lifestyle. It's totally different. It's not like you go to Yankee Stadium in the postseason. People are rabid.
Yes.
You go watch the Mets play, you know, a couple of years ago when they were winning some games. It was, like, insane. You go up to Boston, watch the Red Sox. Go to Chicago. Go to Wrigley. Good luck. I mean, it's intensity.
It is. It's not the same in Los Angeles. You're right. And I picked up on that early. I'm glad you did too, Taz. And I think a lot of people did. Watching that game last night, there was just no intensity, no juice,
nothing.
No excitement in Los Angeles. Here's Roberts again talking about what went awry with Buehler on the mound.
He couldn't command his curveball. I thought there were opportunities to get ahead of hitters with the breaking ball, and he was trying but just couldn't really strike it. I thought the fastball had really good life and command all night long. The punch-outs speak to that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got electric stuff, and people would argue he's probably got the best stuff on that Dodgers staff. And he pitched okay. I mean, 7 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs allowed. Could have been helped out by Grandel on one of those runs, which allowed the Brewers to score. But still, not brilliant, but was okay.
I was going to say one thing about Buehler before we move on. Did you see the, you know, I analyze pregames. That's my thing. Did you see the pregame? What's his name? Stein, what's the actor? Remember from
Charlie Sheen?
No. Buehler. Who was that from? What movie?
Yeah,
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, Day
yeah. What was the actor? The guy, the comedian, Dry Humor Jones with the glasses.
Matthew Broderick.
No. The guy that played the teacher.
Oh.
They did
Ben Stein.
Yeah, Ben Stein. They did a video package with Ben Stein in it.
Oh, did they?
It was very funny. We got to find
not,
it.
I did not see
I don't
that.
Know if any of you guys here saw
I
it,
missed
I
that.
Did. You know, I'm all over the pregame, and it was really funny, and they used the Dodgers like.
That's funny. Like, I got to check that out.
Yeah,
I missed that.
He's going puke.
Did he do a nice
job?
He's
going Machado. He did a great job, Stein.
There, I got to check. Yes.
Machado. Like, he was doing that. And then he goes, Bueller. It was great, but they showed the play. It was very funny. You got to check it out.
I got to check. Well, we'll take a look at that in the break. Maybe we'll tweet that out. How about Chacin for the Milwaukee Brewers? He was great. Staked to the early 1-0 lead. The RBI double by Ryan Braun, which scored Yelich in the top half of the first inning. Here's counsel on how good his starter was after last night's win.
Look, Yelich was just outstanding tonight. He made big pitches. The strikeout to Grandal was a huge pitch. And he's, you know, the last, four times we've given him the ball, it's just been a big-time performance.
Yeah, he was great. And Lorenzo Cain said getting out early in Los Angeles against the Dodgers was big.
Yeah, it was definitely tough to see early on, but at the same time, got to go up there and battle. LeBron did a great job of getting us on the board early, so it was definitely nice to have.
Yeah, I mean, Taz, Milwaukee, I think they've shown you through the first three games here they're the better team.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean they win this series because we've got a lot of ways to go here, and it'll be interesting tonight, game four. Dodgers got to win this football game, baseball game tonight.
Do you think it's clear cut? Do you think it's clear cut? Like, it's like because of just your opinion that it's Astros, it's going to be Astros and Brewers. You think that they're going to just move on? You stick with just like both them. Those teams are
I
better.
I liked them before the series started. Yeah, no reason to doubt my picks now, no.
Wow.
I still think it's Brewers and Astros.
Wow. Yeah. You might be right.
No, I mean,
which
I do.
Which makes my picks bad.
I do. I liked Milwaukee before the series started.
No, I know.
I played them before the series started. And then the Astros, they were an overwhelming favorite. So it's not a case of... But the Red Sox can make that series. Who would I give a better chance of maybe pulling off the upset?
I think Dodgers. I do.
I'd probably say the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think they do.
Because I think the Dodgers are closer to Milwaukee than Boston on the whole is closer to Houston.
Yep. Totally agree. Yeah.
That's what I would agree.
I hope so. I'm hoping Dodgers go all the way in here.
Well, I'd like to see a long series. Last thing, I want to see the Dodgers win today.
Yeah.
I want to see a 7-game series.
You don't want to see this thing look like the ALDS or the NLDS.
No, you want long series.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Want to hear from you if you're a Milwaukee fan. How good was last night? Packers, miraculous win at home. Another great Rodgers comeback. And how about your Brew Crew knocking off the Dodgers out in Chavez Ravine? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And today is officially a holiday in the Biseglia household. No, it's not Leon's birthday. The NBA is back. The NBA is back. The champagne is on ice. The food has been ordered. Biseglia can't wait for tonight. Doubleheader NBA basketball.
Basketball Jones.
That's
Mikey
exactly
B.
right.
That's him, yeah.
We'll get into that next. Taz Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Brian Baldinger is going to join Taz and myself coming up at 7:25 a.m. Eastern Time. Looking forward to chatting with him. Yeah, analyst.
Been on before.
Yeah, a Long Island guy, right?
Yes, Strong Island we call it.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com.
You know, most we're talking about how great it is to be a fan in the great city of Milwaukee or the great state of Wisconsin. Well, especially yesterday, you know, your Brewers just, you know, rocking and rolling, taking out the Dodgers, and then the great Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Let's go out to Milwaukee and talk to Marty. Marty, you're on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Marty?
What's up, Marty?
Hey, guys. How's it doing?
Good, buddy.
I'm just on my way to work this morning, and it's hard to put in words from because obviously Green Bay is a couple hours away, but living in Milwaukee right now with having the Brewers doing what they're doing, this is like, I mean, for our perspective, it's just crazy to think that our team is in this still. I mean, because I know as the LA teams and Chicago teams, like, you can always come back next year. It almost seems so, like, final. Like, I don't know if we could ever do this
like,
again.
Like, this is your shot. Well. This is your shot.
Yeah. This is it.
It's like, and they're not desperate because they're a good team, and I like Council, and I like our ownership, and we have good players. But it's just, it feels like we have to do this. And your man that took my phone call made a point about Giannis, and obviously same thing when you have players like this in Milwaukee. It just seems like you got to make it count when you're there.
Well, it's special. Yeah, you got it. And Marty, have a great day at work.
Oh,
and
guy,
we appreciate
that's Mikey
the call.
B, who screens the calls. Yeah. He's playing radio host when he's screening.
Well, but
giving his thoughts.
But Marty, it's one of those things where I would have trouble sleeping. Yeah, when you're locked in and your team's playing well and having these kind of victories, and as he mentioned, you know, Packers are a couple hours away, but more a case for him about the excitement with the Brewers and what they're doing. And, you know, they have a special quality to it, Taz. You don't want to see it end because you look forward to the next game. You look forward to tonight in Los Angeles. You know, it gets you an extra giddy up in your step. And, you know, with guys like Kane and Yelich and Shaw, you know, throw Moustakas in, who was a late season acquisition. Kratz. I mean, it's pretty it's a fun team. They play to their strengths. They're well managed by council.
Yeah.
And they're a smart baseball team as well. And he's right. They're not New York. It's not L.A. It's not Boston.
Chicago.
It's not Chicago.
Right.
It's not
near
one of
Chicago.
Right. But it's not one of those major markets where you say, all right, well, if we don't win this year, we'll go get them next year. They'll just reload in the offseason.
Well, that's as a Met fan, that's our mantra.
Yes.
That is always next year.
Did you see that Sherman column about the Mets?
Yes. Why?
Well, they basically painted the picture that nobody wants the GM job.
I know. Damn. I should apply.
What do you think? I mean, that was a tough column.
Moose, I gotta leave the show. I'm going to be the Mets GM. What? And I'm not coming on as a guest.
Change the opens.
Change the opens. That's leaving. Let's get a new one. Call Bazanji. Let's change the open. Change the opens.
Congratulations, Taz. Mike, change the opens.
That's hilarious.
Call Bloom. We need a new account verified.
Yeah.
But anyway, you should be excited if you're a Brewer fan.
Yeah.
You should be excited.
They got a pretty good college football team, too.
They do.
They got beat up by Michigan.
Unfortunately, got knocked around by Michigan this past
weekend.
They haven't been as good as you would expect this year. But they were, a top five program before the season started. Their initial AP top 25 poll.
Absolutely.
The Milwaukee team's a fun team, Taz. They're a veteran-laden team. They understand. They've got a little grit to them. They got a couple former Royals on there, and Moustakas and Kane that have been there, done that. They've got an exciting dynamic. What's going to be the NL MVP and Christian Yelich as an outfielder? Oh, it's good. It's a good time to be a Brewer fan.
And you mentioned Council. I love him as a skipper of that
smart
team. Just, you know, and he's just all the years he played middle infield, you know, in the majors and to the level he did. Right, he is smart. He just seems so locked in, so confident in the, you know, you feel that from him, you know what I mean?
And the other thing that's important, Taz, is we could look at guys, does he know baseball? Is he a good field general? X's and O's, you know, is he making the switch at the right time, handling the bullpen? It's also connectivity with your players.
Absolutely.
You get a sense that Council is connected with his players.
Looks like he can still play anyway.
He does. Right. So. He's not sitting there with a beer belly.
Yeah.
And if you are, that's no knock against you. But the point being is that he does keep himself in really relative good physical condition. But I get a sense that the players do respond to him. And that's important. Just as important as knowing the game. Just as when you deliver a message, that guys hear that message and are able to take that message onto the field. And sometimes that is lost on coaches, where they believe it's all just X's and O's and it's robot. No, there is emotion and there is a touch and feel of the game that you can't forget about.
No, I know you're right, and it is, and it's there's that fine line of being the proverbial player coach to being the guy who's in charge, the guy who's got to lay down a law sometimes, and you know that's what the great ones do. I don't care what sport it is, I don't care if you're male, female, whatever, on a collegiate level or professional level. You got to have that. You got to have that connectivity, as you're saying, and you got to also make sure that when the time is right, you got to rule with that iron fist, and you got to get that respect.
No question about it.
That's right here on this show.
Absolutely, we always respect one another.
Well, usually,
hello.
Hello.
Can't top that. Awesome way to go to break, my friend. Awesome.
Pigskin pileup comes your way next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Hello.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.